Bezrat Hashem, we continue discussing Tractate Yoma, the preparations of the Kohen Gadol and the sequestration of the Kohens who perform the rites of Yom Kippur and also of the Parah Aduma, the Red Heifer. We left off with Rav Ashi bringing this mnemonic of Pei Zayin Resh Kufshin Bet, Pazer Keshev. And I want to note that Rashi says, and Tosfos also say that there is disagreements about what is represented by the letters in this particular acronym regarding the day of Shmini Atzeret being a regel in and of itself. Rashi says that it's not called Sukkot, but it's called rather Shmini, the eighth day of assembly in the blessings and also in our tefillos. And in his commentary on in Sukkah, Rashi explains over there that there is no obligation to reside in the Sukkah on the eighth day, which is Shmini Atzeret. And so we have several different views in the Mefarshim about what this particular mnemonic means. We described it at the end of last year as referring to the lottery, the Zman, the Regel, the Korban, the Shira, and the Brach. Now at the top of Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, page 3a, the Gemara says, however, despite all of these differences regarding compensation for failure to sacrifice the festival offerings at the earliest opportunity, everyone says that it's a day of tashlumen, of compensation for obligations that were not met during the first festival. Because didn't we learn in a Mishnah that one who did not celebrate on the first Yom Tov of Sukkot, by sacrificing the offering, that person can celebrate and sacrifice the festival offering throughout the whole time of Sukkot in its entirety, including the last festival day of the festival of Sukkot. So apparently, according to this, Shmini Atzeret is considered to be the last festival day, the last Yom Tov of Sukkot, and therefore it's appended to it, it's stuck on the end, regarding all of the obligations. The Gaonim in many early commentaries connect this to the halachas of mourning. It says if a relative dies on Erev Yom Tov, on the eve of a festival, so the legal status of that particular festival is like 7 days of the required shloshim, of the required 30 days of mourning. If the death happened prior to the festival of Sukkot, so the first day of Yom Tov of Sukkot is considered like the 7 days. Chol HaMoed Sukkot, when we're not allowed to mourn anyway, those are considered an additional 7 days, and Shmini Atzeret is considered like the 7 days as well. So therefore, after Yom Tov, if that happened on Sukkot, there'd be approximately 1 week that would be done, would remain from the Shloshim. So there's a little bit of a connection there. Okay. So the Gemara says, makes another challenge. So we should, the Ema Atzeres, say that the Kohen that should be sequestered before the festival of Shavuos, because when it says Atzeres in the Torah, it means it's referring to Shavuos. Shavuos is a festival that's preceded by weekdays, and there too, it's a matter of sequestering 7 days for 1 day. So maybe we should use that as the idea of Shavuos as an example. Amar Rabbi Abba said, there's a distinction between the inauguration of the temple and Shavuos, because one derives an instance where the obligatory offering is one bull and one ram, which is the obligatory offering on Yom Kippur. We derive that from an instance where the obligatory offering is also one bull and one ram, which would be the inauguration. This excludes Shavuos, because on Shavuos there's two rams that are offered. So there were many, many offerings that were brought at the inauguration of the temple. It was very complicated. So the Mefarshim disagree with regard to the type or the nature of the bull and the ram of the inauguration that's referred to in the Gemara. According to the Rashbam, which is brought in Tosfos Yeshanim, the reference is to a pasuk in Vayikra that says a bull and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before Hashem. Rashi says that the reference is to a different verse in Vayikra, two verses before, where it says you should take a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for an ola, a burnt offering. Rabbeinu Tam writes that the verse is actually from Shmos, 29:1, which it says you should take a young bull and two rams without blemish. So regarding this, one of the rams was unrelated to that offering. One bull and one ram remain. The Ritva also points out, the Ritva says, that there are difficulties with each of these explanations. None really precisely correspond to what's going on with the Gemara here. So saying that to point out that this distinction between one bull and one ram should be compared to another situation where there's one bull and one ram is a bit of a challenge, and there are differing opinions regarding that. So back to the text of the Gemara. The Gemara says, so this works out well according to the person who said that the obligatory offering on Yom Kippur is one ram. However, there's another opinion. However, according to the one who said that there are two rams that are sacrificed on Yom Kippur, so what do you say about this? According to this opinion, Yom Kippur is therefore, you can't compare it to the inauguration. And the Gemara says, we taught in a Braisa, Rebbe, which is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, says, one ram is the one that is mentioned here, because it's written in the Pasuk, there's a Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek 16. It says, with this Aaron will come into the sanctuary with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So Rebbe says it's the same one that's mentioned in the book of Bamidbar. In the Pasuk there, it's two Pesukim in Bamidbar chapter 29, and they say that on the 10th day of the 7th month, you will have a sacred gathering. This is the Maftir, by the way, for Yom Kippur morning. When you will afflict your souls, and you will not do any labor, you will offer a burnt offering to Hashem for a reach nichoch, a sweet aroma. And what is that? The Pasuk says, one young bull, one ram. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says that there are actually two rams offered on Yom Kippur, one mentioned in the book of Vayikra and one mentioned in the book of Bamidbar. So that when we just talked about those two verses, that they're two completely, they refer to two separate things. However, the Gemara rejects this solution. Even if you were to say that in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Shimon, and his opinion is that even if you accept that there are two rams that are brought on Yom Kippur, there's still a distinction between Yom Kippur and Shavuos. Regarding Yom Kippur, one ram, which is mentioned in that pasuk in the book of Vayikra, that is for the obligation of the day, the Chovas Hayom. And what is the obligation of the day of Yom Kippur? It's for the atonement of Yom Kippur. And there's one ram that's mentioned over there in the book of Bamidbar. That is for the Musafin, the additional offerings. So this would exclude, this is to the exclusion of the halakha as it regards to Shavuos, where both of these rams are designated as Chovas Hayom, as obligations of the day. And so therefore, there's really no basis for deriving the halakha regarding Shavuos from the inauguration, because the obligations are different on Shavuos. So the Gemara is going to try a different day. Okay, let's say it's derived from the Rosh Hashanah, because there too, the Gemara says, it is sequestering of 7 days for one day. What's the explanation of this? The days before Rosh Hashanah are weekdays, right? And just like the inauguration, on Rosh Hashanah, a bull and a ram are sacrificed. Amar Rabbi Avohu says that this too is also rejected, because you derive a bull and a ram that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, brings from his own property, and he does this on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, will bring and offer this bull and this ram from his own money, his own property. We derive this from a bull and a ram that Aharon, HaKohen, that Moshe's brother Aaron brought from his own property on the inauguration. During the inauguration, he brought it from his own property. Same thing is done on Yom Kippur. Therefore, those two things are synonymous. And this is to the exclusion of Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, because on those 2 days, the bull and the ram sacrificed are from community property, from the tzibur. And they're not owned by the Kohen. The Kohen doesn't reach into his own pocket, so to speak, to bring these offerings. The Gemara asks, so this works out well according to the person who said that every time the Torah uses the phrase kach lecha, which means that you should take, every time that the Torah uses kach lecha, it means from your own property. As we flip over now to Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and similarly, when the Torah says aseh lecha, that you should make, that also means from your own property. So there's one opinion that believes that. However, according to the one who said that when the Torah states both of these phrases, aseh lecha, that you should take, aseh lecha, that you should make, and kach lecha, that you should take, that it means from communal property. So what is there to say? Ma ikala meimor. What can you say regarding this? How do you distinguish Yom Kippur in these days? So it's taught in a braisa. The Tanya is taught in a braisa. When the Torah says kach lecha, that you should take, it means you should take from your own property. And when it says aselecha, you should make, it means also from your own property. However, when the Torah says vayikhu elecha, and they will bring to you, that means mishel tzibor, this is from a community property. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan says that both times when the Torah says kach lecha, or the Torah says vayikhu elecha, both phrases, he says that when the Torah says both of these things, it comes from community property. And for what purpose then does the pasuk say kach lecha, take you, which seems to mean from your own property? What does that mean? So Rabbi Yonasan explains that it should be understood, kaviyachol, so to speak, that Hashem said to Moshe, I want that it should come from your property more than I want it to come from theirs. And so therefore, this taking was attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it was actually came from the community property. So Abba Chanan said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, he says one verse in Devarim 10:1, it says, V'asita lecha aron eitz, you should make an ark of wood. This indicates that it should be from your own property. You make. V'asita lecha, you should make for you. Okay, and there's another pasuk in Shmos, in Exodus 25:10, which says, Ve'asu aron atzei shitim, and they should make an ark of acacia wood, meaning from the Jewish people, that they should take this from the Jewish people. So how can this contradiction be resolved? So here, in the verse, it's referring to a time when the Jewish people perform the will of Hashem, and they are credited with building the Ark of the Covenant. Over there, it's referring to a time when the Jewish people do not perform the will of Hashem, and construction of the Ark was then attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu alone. And according to that opinion, there's no difference between the offerings of Yom Kippur and the other offerings. So there's an opinion, you look at the Maharsha, that says when the Jewish people perform the will of Hashem, and Hashem is happy with us, so to speak, happy, so then the building of the ark is then attributed to Moshe, because he was directly commanded to make the vessels of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, for the sake of Hashem. However, when the people aren't performing the will of Hashem, God forbid, the builder of the ark isn't mentioned at all, and the construction is therefore described in a very basic, non-specific terms. That's the opinion of the Maharsha. Okay, so the Gemara then rejects this particular thing that we just talked about. It says, they disagree, these two rabbis disagree, only with regard to instances of taking in general and instances of making in general. So, what is an example of this? An instance of taking in general is the verse in Exodus 30:34. It says, "Aselecha shtei chatzotzos ketz." I'm sorry. It says, "Kach lecha samim." You should take spices. And then the instances of making in general are also in the verse in Bamidbar, which says, "Aselecha shtei chatzotzos kesef." You should make two silver trumpets. However, in these cases, the case of the inauguration and the case of the Yom Kippur, the verses specifically and explicitly teach that these offerings have to come from your own property. Regard to the inauguration, now, since it's written, it says in Vayikra, and to the children of Israel you will speak, saying, take a goat kid for a sin offering, etc. And it also says, and he said to Aaron, take you a young calf for a sin offering. So why do I need this clear difference between the formulation of the commandment to the Jewish people and then the formulation of the commandment to Aaron? Why is there a difference here? So, Shmamina, we should learn from it that in this context, kach lecha, which translates to take you or you should take, means from your own property. So regarding Yom Kippur, it's written. It says, "Bezos yavo Aharon al kodesh bepar bein bakar lekatas v'gamer." This Aharon will come into the sanctuary with a young bull for a sin offering. And it also says from another verse, "Umeis adas bnei Israel yikach shteis irei zim lechatat." And from the congregation of the children of Israel, he will take two goat kids, for a sin offering. And Aharon will offer his young bull as a chatas, a sin offering. That's in Parshas, that's in Vayikra. So why do I need the emphasis that the goats have to come from the children of Israel? So we should shmamim, we should learn from this, that this term, lo, which means his, that's written in, regarding the calf, means from his own property. So Rav Ashi says another reason that distinguishes Yom Kippur from Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos. One derives that the bull for a sin offering and a ram for an ola, which is a burnt offering, that are written regarding Yom Kippur. We derive this from the bull for a sin offering and the ram for a burnt offering written regarding the inauguration. This is to the exclusion of Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos, on which both of them, the bull and the ram, are only olos, they're only burnt offerings. Ravina Amar, Ravina says another distinction, that one derives a matter that is restricted, in essence, to the service that's performed by the Kohen Gadol. So on Yom Kippur, only the Kohen Gadol performs that service. So we derive this from a matter that is restricted to the service also only performed by the Kohen Gadol, which was the inauguration, which was, according to the Torah, performed by Aaron. And this was performed only, so in each case, only by the Kohen Gadol. So this is to the exclusion of all of the difficulties that were raised from the very beginning of this discussion, as on all of those other days, they are not restricted to the service only performed by the Kohen Gadol. Any other Kohen could actually perform it. So you have here, again, you're not comparing apples to apples. V'ikad de'amre amar Ravina. Some say that Ravina said that a person derives a matter that is an initial service, avoda techila, from another thing that's an initial service, to the exclusion of all of these other things which are not initial services. So this is a little unclear. So what is the Gemara asks? So what is the meaning of this techila? What is the meaning of this initial service? How do we define it? If we say that this initial service means that a person, an initial service means a service that's only performed by the Kohen Gadol, but so that's identical to the first version of what Ravina said. So, rather, it has to be understood like this. A person derives the avoda techila, the initial service performed in the place. Which place? The Holy of Holies. And that happens only on Yom Kippur. So we derive this from the initial service performed in the place, the Mishkan, on the eighth day of the inauguration. So therefore, you are comparing in that particular, the second version of what Ravina is saying, you're comparing apples to apples, you're comparing the service of Yom Kippur derived from the service of the inauguration. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he says, Rabbi Yochanan taught one case derived from the inauguration, while Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught two. So Rabbi Yochanan taught one, and this is what he taught. He said, to do, to make an atonement, la'asot lechaper, that those two words, which mean to do, to make an atonement, these are actions that are performed on Yom Kippur. These things would require sequestration beforehand, which would be similar to the inauguration. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught also two things. He said, La Sot, these are actions that are performed in the burning of the Parah Aduma. And Lichaper, to atone, these are actions that are performed on Yom Kippur, and therefore both of them require sequestering. So you have Rabbi Yochanan, who combines La Sot and Lichaper together to learn one thing, and also Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who separates La Sot and Lechaper, to derive two different things. So now the Gemara asks, and did Rabbi Yochanan really only teach one case derived from the inauguration, which would be Yom Kippur? But didn't we learn explicitly in a Mishnah, 7 days prior to Yom Kippur? And then another day, another Mishnah we mentioned on the previous daf, says 7 days prior to the burning of the Parah Aduma. So the Chachamim that would remove the Kohanim, the Kohen, from his home. So apparently there are two situations in which the Kohen is sequestered, Yom Kippur, and before burning the Parah Aduma. So the answer to this, the Gemara says, when we're talking about sequestering the Kohen prior to the burning of the Parah Aduma, the sages merely established a higher standard, meaning they issued a decree so that the sanctity of this ritual would be emphasized. And after they permitted its performance by a Kohen who immersed on that particular day, there isn't a Torah source for the sequestering of the Kohen in that particular case. So the Gemara asks, however, didn't Rebbe Minyumi Ben Chukia said that Rebbe Machseya Bar Idi said that Rebbe Yochanan said that the pasuk in Vayikra says Ka'asher asa b'yom hazeh tziva Hashem la'asos lechaper aleichem, which means, as has been done on this day, so Hashem has commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. So it's derived from there, la'asos, to do. So these are the actions performed in the burning of the Para Aduma. Lechaper, to make an atonement. These are the actions performed on Yom Kippur. So even then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he would have taught two cases derived from the inauguration. So the Gemara then resolves this difficulty. That is the opinion of his teacher. However, this means that Rabbi Yochanan himself disagrees with this. Because as when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, to do, these are actions performed in the burning of the Para Aduma. To atone, these are the actions performed on Yom Kippur. So that which Rabbi Manyumi cited in the name of Rabbi Yochanan was the opinion of his teacher, Rabbi Yishmael. Now, with regard to the sequestering of the Kohen, Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, from where did you derive this principle that we sequester? You derived it from the inauguration. So if so, just as regarding the inauguration, if you fail to perform all of the details that are written regarding it, it invalidates that inauguration. So to here, regarding Yom Kippur, if you fail to perform all of the details that are written in it, regarding it, it invalidates the Yom Kippur service. So all of the halachas of sequestering have to be precisely observed, is what Reish Lakish is pointing out. And if you say, indeed, so this is so, didn't we learn in a Mishnah? And they would designate another Kohen in his stead. And is it not taught regarding the designated Kohen that 7 days before Yom Kippur they would remove him from his house, although ultimately he can perform the Yom Kippur service? So apparently, failing to sequester the Kohen does not invalidate the actual service. So the Gemara now anticipates a response. If you say in response, what is the meaning of that they would designate? It means that they would remove, that doesn't seem plausible. Because if that's the case, so then the Mishnah should teach either with regard to both this Kohen Gadol and that designated replacement. They would designate. That's what the Mafrish, they would designate. Or with regard to both this Kohen Gadol and that designated replacement, Mafrishin, that they would remove. Rabbi Yochanan says back to Rish Lakish, rather, from where do you, Master, derive the halacha of the sequestering before Yom Kippur? So Rish Lakish said to him, I derive it from Sinai, because it's written, Vayishkan kvod Hashem al har Sinai, Vaychaseyu hayanon sheshes yamim vayikra al Moshe bayom hashvi. The pasuk says in Shmos, and the glory of Hashem was on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered him 6 days. And he called to Moshe on the seventh day from inside the cloud. So the Hebrew word that's used here, which is vaychasehu, is a masculine grammatical form. So this can be interpreted either as referring to Moshe or as referring to the mountain. So now, since it states, and he called to Moshe on the seventh day, what's derived from the previous mention of the previous 6 days? These 6 days are mentioned as a paradigm from which a general principle is derived that any person who enters the camp of the divine presence, which is the site of the revelation at Mount Sinai, or the place where the divine presence rests, which would be the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, that person requires prior sequestration for 6 days. But the Gemara says, but isn't it seven? It's not six. It's 7 days of sequestering that we learned in the Mishnah. So Reish Lakish answers about this, that the Mishnah that requires sequestering for 7 days is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who is concerned about the ritual impurity of the Kohen's home, in essence his wife. So what this means is that it's done so that he does not become impure through relations with Anida, which is impurity that lasts for 7 days. Therefore, he's removed from his home from 7 days. And that brings us to the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. And then the next Daf, we're going to see a continuation of this discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about the derivation of the halacha of sequestering, where it comes from, whether it comes from the inauguration, or whether it comes from Yom Kippur. Baruch Hashem.